Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is your host, Iram Said, with the Global Telesummit series, From Heartache to Joy. Well, Valentine's Day is fast approaching. I know there are a lot of people that have their mind and their focus on relationships this year, but also especially this month. Also, there's a lot of twos in this month of this year, so this is a really powerful, special month. And, you know, when our relationships are smooth, they are flowing, we are happy, because no matter how higher up we go into consciousness, no matter how awake we become, this balance and harmony in relationships is very important for this human experience. So our guest speaker today is Christine Grant, who has a very unique gift. I was really surprised when I first spoke to her. You guys will be amazed at the mind-blowing results that she gets, but her technique is very different. I had never met anyone before Christine who actually has this technique, and I don't know anyone else that does this. So our topic today is the relationship. Shift into the higher frequency of love and reignite the spark in your relationship. Now, what are we going to be covering today? And then I'll tell you a little bit about Christine and why she is so unique. So in today's call, we are going to cover things like perspective. You will learn how to get out of your own way so a deeper truth can be revealed. You're also going to learn what the unrecognized gift is, learn how to see a bigger picture and how we can evolve in spite of our relationship issues, learn some solid tips for how you can tap into your own intuition for improving your communication with your loved one. Learn about self-sabotage and emotional alchemy, or how to transform negative programming or patterned reactions. And then stay in your heart, a conversation for empowerment and attracting the love connection you really want. Now, as I said, Christine is very different from other speakers that we have had on our show. Now, in her own right, she is also a master level energy healer, but she does it in a truly unique and different way, in that Christine Grant is an intuitive ghostwriter. Her uniquely inspired heart letter writing service has transformed hundreds of relationships. Christine is able to tap into the true heart of the matter to help resolve, heal, and reclaim any sort of relationship challenge with anyone. And by the way, that this does include the relationship that your higher self has with your conscious self, and we'll talk about that during the show. Christine Grant, MFT, relationship expert, has worked with couples struggling with any sort of relational difficulty for over 23 years as a licensed marriage and family therapist. A uniquely transformative process for ghostwriting many hundreds of inspired heart letters for clients over the span of 16 years is a highly intuitive intervention that moves beyond the realm of psychotherapy. Christine is known as a relationship expert and coach. She is a motivational speaker, award-winning author, singer, and songwriter. Look for her new album, Love Letters by Tina Rose. That's her performer's name. Christine is the author of Relationship, How to Write the Words You Really Want to Say. And it's been endorsed by best-selling authors like John Gray, Catherine Woodward Thomas, Ariel Ford, and Christiane Northrup. Christine is also the author of BFF, Be Friendship Focused, a guide for helping children to navigate their way through common social challenges surrounding bullying or any sort of relational aggression. She and her daughter, Alana, have created the A to Z Power Cards, an oracle deck for helping children ages 8 to 12 consider new concepts for character development and improved social skills. I am so excited and so honored to have you with us, Christine. Welcome, my dear, to the show.
Oh, Erin, so wonderful to connect again. Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. As I said, that you know our audience is used to different kinds of, you know, healers that have different modalities. But when I met you and the results, the mind-blowing results that your letter writing skills have had, I had to introduce you to FHTJ because I know there are many members here that have been listening to the show for years. They have had some kind of disconnect in relationships that are important to them, romantic or otherwise, and they have been yearning to find resolution. And the kind of results you have and the wisdom and the knowledge that you bring is just, I think it's just so important that I just had to introduce you to our audience as well. Now, I want to jump right in. I want to ask you, what is so special about the letter writing that you do or that you teach? And, you know, the results I've seen from your clients, what I've read about, they are truly miraculous. So how come that happens? What's going on here? Is there energy healing involved? I mean, what is happening?
Okay. So honestly, all of our relationships, Erin, are a co-creation venture. I think you'd agree. So if we want to manifest a positive shift, at least one person needs to begin to convey the truth. And while many of us, if not even most of us, over the last 2+ years in particular, have perhaps felt socially isolated, our emotional well-being, you could say, has also been under attack. So for the first time, so many of us have spent more time with family, friends, or significant others, or less time. And so as we are moving, as our planet, as humanity, as our souls are moving into the higher dimension, we're no longer able to carry that emotional debris along with us. We got to drop the bags. You know, we're flying, and only not even one carry-on. We really need to let go the emotional baggage. Mm-hmm. Yes. So as more truth is revealed in the world, likewise, we need to reveal our truth. And to summarize what I do as a profound communication tool, letters are received differently than an oral conversation. So I'm bringing back the art of the letter, if you will. They can be reread, mused over, or contemplated in order to better grasp the true meaning of the message. So letters also are not tossed away. They're revered. I mean, when I was cleaning my garage last year, I found a letter from my daughter when she was 8 years old. Mommy, I love you because you give me kisses. And mommy, I love you because you're just too cute to be mad at. Am I going to throw that away? I don't think so. Probably frame it. So, you know, as opposed to text messages or emails, we don't toss letters, and letters that come from the heart and the soul. So what I channel into is the higher heart. And by that, let me go into that a little bit further. So we all, I'm sure your audience who's very well developed in the realm of spirituality would agree or has already learned that about the 8 chakras, right, or the 7 chakras. There are actually 12. But we've been utilizing the first 7 in the 3-dimensional planetary situation. Now that we're moving into higher dimension, the 8th chakra, which is the one that I've been told by amazing channelers on the planet, is where I shine. And what the 8th chakra is, it sits above the crown, approximately, I'm told 2, but I've also heard 6 inches above the crown chakra. And it can stretch for some people as large as a couple of feet. The color associated mm-hmm. with it tends to be it's very etheric a color. So it's sort of a glistening, glimmering magenta with gold. And it is sometimes referred to as the soul star chakra. So the crown is the stellar gateway, and the crown chakra has been the gateway to open up all the other physical chakras in our body. This one, the eighth, relates to the infinite energy, spirituality, the supreme divine wisdom, and spiritual compassion. Okay? So it's where spiritual love and divine energy enter the body. I have taken a very, very deep dive since I was a young, very young lady, and I've explored all kinds of metaphysical artistry and creativity and awareness in many ways, and I love all of it. And, I mean, I've worked with the Kundalini energy as a Shen practitioner. I've been trained in a lot of modalities. I visited many high energy vortexes and pyramids and you name it around the planet, and which I love traveling because I think we pick up the energies from Gaia, from those different power spots. As a family therapist, I really was drawn to working, helping people within the realm of relationships. To be honest, I've moved past that as I knew it. So I'm no longer considering myself a family therapist anymore. I have the background, the education, and the experience with that. But what I came across was this ability to translate the language of someone's higher heart to readily and quickly transmute and transform whatever challenge, whatever concern, worry, et cetera, might be on the table for that person. And what I love about it is how quickly the transformation occurs. So, that's kind of what it is. So words do carry a frequency. And my book, actually, that I wrote that you referred to right now is sitting in a temple in Kazakhstan. It's been there for, I guess, before pre-COVID, and it's being blessed and energized. So when the high priestess that was there, when I went on sort of a spiritual trek through Kazakhstan a few years ago, she held my book and she said, "Oh my God, the frequency is amazing. Can we have your book so we can keep it charged so that the planet, people that will be in contact with your words, the frequencies of that will be able to more easily raise their own." So that was very beautiful experience.
That is beautiful. It really is. That is beautiful. You also mentioned getting out of your own way. And I know that our ego and the need to be right can most of the time steer us in the wrong direction. So can you talk about how to move past that?
Yes. Souls, divine souls, doing the human experience, we are, our nervous system, for example, is very vulnerable even as a baby, prenatal, or what we may have carried in with us from past lives or an ancestral history. But what happens when we feel like we are under attack is we go into sort of an autopilot of getting defensive, perhaps, or in some sort of power struggle to preserve what we already know or what we've come to believe. And that can obstruct real communication or connection with another because we are in our own way. We become a little myopic because we perhaps unconsciously have been trained to almost expect a certain outcome when we come across a situation. And what happens when people have similar patterns and patterned reactions to relationship concerns or matters is over time, unless you wake up to it and get out of your own way, out of your ego, you will keep experiencing similar types of relational challenges. I mean, the characters might look different, the costumes and scenery, but it's still the same theater, the same movie, until you finally and hopefully will stop and look at perhaps how you contributed, or perhaps how you're looking at it through a looking glass that is not altogether true. And that is where our souls get to evolve. I believe personally that relationships, the challenges within relationships, are our best teachers. We are, most of us, not designed, and our soul didn't contract to go up to northern Thailand and sit in a cave for our entire existence and channel in energy. We are down here experiencing the real world, and that is how our we get to evolve. That's our contract. So when we look at something as a problem, or, oh, what a nasty person, or I can't believe he said that, she did this, you called it in, and it's up to you to recognize, and through compassion, we've all heard this, forgiveness and gratitude for that experience, moving through that, we evolve.
Wow. Wow, that is just amazing. I would love for you to share some of the stories, because I think they are so amazing and unique, the people, different people that you have helped, and the different types of relationship interventions that you can help with. If you can talk about that, that would be great. And if you can tell us some of the stories of experiences that your clients have had, would be wonderful.
Sure. I think, if you don't mind, I'd like to start with a very unique letter story, and that is, I call it, I call this one Laura's story. And Laura was actually a beautiful writer. She's an author of fictional novels. And so what my service, again, just to explain it, it doesn't have a whole lot to do with someone's eloquence or their mastery over language as much as it does the stringing together of the words and the aha backstories that I intuitively most often pick up. But anyway, so this lady, she was a beautiful, wonderful writer. She won this contest, and her prize was to get one of my Inspired Heart letters. So when I spoke with her, she said, you know, Christine, I really need your help. I mean, I'm starting a new chapter in my life. I divorced my husband. I have a 5-year-old daughter. I'm a single mom. I'm out on my own. But, you know, I thought about it. And what I would really, really love is for you to write a letter from my soul, from my higher self, to my conscious self. So I went, wow, I love that idea. So if you'd like to hear it, actually I call this Celebrating Laura.
It's a short, it's not a long letter, but I would love to read it. Okay. So here we go. This is the time of new beginnings. Stepping out on my own, I choose happiness. I easily center myself as though floating down a tranquil river, allowing my being to be gently caressed and easily guided by warm pools of divine liquid and light. I surrender into bliss. I am truly connected to all life and to all love. My mind travels freely without obstacles. Wisdom unfurls through the sweet integration of mental, material, and spiritual worlds. Intuitively, I know there is no need to worry, only a need to accept. With full acceptance, I experience an open heart, an abundant life, and a joyful soul. As my heart opens wide, I radiate love, and love is returned to me tenfold. My path is that of an artist who gives beauty, grace, and sublime metaphor to those who wish to resonate with the kinder side of the human heart and to those who are curious to know the hidden mysteries of life. Angels surround me wherever I go, their laughter expressed in the irony and the magic, the coincidence, and all other cosmic jokes. Now my angelic guides and I laugh together as I grow lighter and more ethereal in thought and deed. I am more than enough. I am beauty and grace, and I walk in the joyful majesty of the divine, to have, to be, to know all that I am. I am blessed. So
beautiful.
Yeah, so she really loved it. And she actually had that framed, and it's hanging in her house, I believe. Yeah.
And what happened with her life? Did she have resolution? Did the issues resolve with this connection with the higher self?
I'll tell you, this is not, quote, therapy unless somebody wants to get some coaching follow-up calls with me. My process, we have a call after the letter is received to see how things are going, a letter of support. And it, like I said, if somebody needs more than that, I'm available for it. But what she wrote, I'll read what she wrote. She said after reading this letter, she wrote this response. You have a supreme talent of intuition, creativity, loving kindness, and of course, a poetic passion for the word. This is a love letter and in a way a magic spell or a prayer that I can read again and again, and one I can share with the world as I let its subtle energy transform and affirm to my soul and to what is already there. So she considered it a wonderful affirmation, a prayer that she felt really captured the essence of what she wanted to remind herself of, her true self, her higher heart that she is choosing to walk through the rest of her life with.
Wow. So I know you have some other stories to share. You have some other stories to share also, because I'm reading here that you also write for online dating profiles for people that need that, text messages for really effective flirting and seduction, personal PowerPoint conversations, a letter to self, which you just talked about, your new legacy letters. I'd love for you to explain what those are, and then eulogies to commemorate a loved one's transition. So tell us a little bit about all of these, and if you want to share any stories, that would be great.
Okay. All right. So I'll go quickly through the dating profile. So the online dating most people, actually, I think the statistics now are at least 50% of all committed partnerships or marriages have now started out through online dating. You know, just So that's a reality. But so with what is an online dating profile? It's really your advertisement. It's not your whole story. And what I found when I help people is that they have a perspective that is not going to sell them, if you will. For example, one gentleman, just recently I rewrote his, and he had this laundry list of my perfect partner, will be, must have, is, you know, all these conditions, so to speak. And and I am this, and I have that, and, you know, it was very like a menu, a laundry list of must have, really wants, blah blah blah. And then the final one on his bucket list was, and my perfect woman will love her job. And it was like, oh, oops. Now, that's not to say that women obviously are amazingly creative, we're strong leaders, and yes, we should love our jobs if we choose to work, and if you even want to call it a job, but should be a passion. But what I feel working with couples and all, what the meta message may be for a lot of people, and he was not getting much action, was, oh, perhaps this man needs a woman to work. Perhaps he doesn't, you know, he's not doing that well, and maybe he's scraping by. Maybe he needs a sugar mama. Maybe, you know, I mean, you can go on and on. And so I called him, you know, when we spoke on the phone, I said, okay, I will rewrite this. And I wrote it, like in 10 minutes, to be honest. And the online dating profile should not be so long. It should be, but it should be alluring. It should be catching. And so the first line was, may I spoil you? So what does that mean? Are you going to spoil me with time? Are you going to spoil me with travel and adventure? Are you going to spoil me with, you know, romance, sensuality? Are you, you know, what? How do you want to take me shopping every week? I mean, so it invokes curiosity, but in a positive way. Okay, so that's just one idea. And I have so many other really, really cute stories around that in the book. I know we don't have all day, or I could go on. And if we want to go back to another one, I can. But let me talk to the next. So the other one, this is a wonderful story, and that is the texting or teasing, the allure of texting when someone's mostly, you can, you know, if you're in a romantic situation, great, or marriage, excuse me, but if you're also just kind of starting out to get to know someone, the texting is like flirting, okay? It's like kind of like dropping the handkerchief. For women, and for, you know, and for men, it might be a nice, you know, I'm sorry, I'm trying to open my computer here. It might be kind of like a nice wink in, or more than flowers, sort of. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, let me just my computer up. So anyway, with this story, I went on a spiritual journey before COVID up to Mount Shasta, which is one of the big vortexes in near Oregon, at, in on the west coast of the United States. And I went with a group of men and women that were all spiritually well-informed, or, you know, that was the focus of the trip. And on the way back, we were going through Los Angeles, quite a, I think, a 12-hour drive back, and we had a couple of minivans. And so I decided to, or I asked, may I drive when we got to L.A.? So this woman next to me, she said, Christine, I need your help. And I said, what's going on? She said, well, my boyfriend lives in Los Angeles, she lived in San Diego, and he had a business in San Diego as well, so they saw each other fairly regularly, and they've been dating for over a year. And she said, I text messaged him and said, honey, we'll be coming, we're coming through Mount Shasta, or we're coming from Mount Shasta through Los Angeles. Why don't we swing over to your house? You can jump in the minivan and be the chauffeur, and we could be together in San Diego. And I, as soon as she said that, I went, oh my gosh, no, this is not in my, you know, what came through me, and I'm pretty intuitive around this stuff. I said, oh, gosh, no, you didn't. Did you say that? Yeah, because there isn't that energetic allure. That's a whole conversation. At any rate, she said, she goes, you're right. She said, he wrote back and said, well, I'm sure you're tired from your long journey, and you probably need your rest, and I am coming to San Diego tomorrow. This was a Sunday evening, but pretty busy this week. How about we get together for dinner on Tuesday or Wednesday? And in my opinion, Aram, that was really limp in every sense of the word, okay? And so what I, and she said, I can't believe it. She said, I even had a dream about him. I'm in love. So I said, okay, then why don't you send this message to him? You know, I'm sorry that I'm sorry you won't be joining us, because I was hoping we would have a chance later to share this amazing dream I had about you last night. It was so sensual. And so then he starts texting her back. Call me. What is this? You know, and I said, no, don't call him right away. For all he knows, there's a handsome guy in a Lamborghini driving by. And so, in other words, you know, it's sort of like, it is sort of a game when we're dating. It's the game of the chase and the game of the allure. And when people are, you know, when there's no, the game of romance is like, wow, you know, I am able to capture someone's time and attention, and you want to impress one another. In fact, the first 3 months of a relationship are sort of like a pregnancy. It's like, you know, is the seed going to take, or should we let go of this? Are we going to have a stillborn, or are we going to actually give birth to a relationship? And then sometimes around the 6 months of dating, it's like, oh my gosh, and I'm using this as an analogy. It's almost like we're pregnant, we're preggers, and then we're showing up as a couple. And then around 9 months, around the close to the first year of a relationship, that's when the conflicts come up. That's when things that need to be problem solved often will show up.
Christine? Hello?
Can
you hear me? Yeah, now I can. Thank you. Okay. Yeah, now I can.
I'm sorry. Okay, so back to the, so I just want to say relationships are an entity that is, it's each person, and then the relationship is the entity that they're nurturing and growing and developing. So if you could, grab onto that concept.
I do want to make sure if you can also share, because majority of From Heartache to Joy listeners are in an age group, I really honestly don't know if online dating is a big one for our listeners, but I know that from the messages I have seen and the comments where a lot of our listeners have issues in relationships that they currently have. So it could be a marriage or a romantic partnership.
Okay.
It can also be like an estranged child or an estranged sibling. So can you share some stories of what do your services help us to achieve in that area?
Absolutely. And just to wrap up the other story I started with the texting, when she text messaged him back, she just said, you know, I'm sorry, you're right, I do need to, because he wanted to then all of a sudden jump in his car and meet her in 2 hours when she said she had this sensuous dream. Anyway, 2 weeks later, I ran into her in the grocery store, and he had invited her to meet his parents. Back to online dating, though. But back to online dating, actually, people in their 40s on up most people are into online dating to one extent or another. But let's move to relationships that are already there. I have another wonderful story. I met this woman, and I met her at another kind of spiritual event, and she was from one of the Baltic countries, and her husband was actually from Pakistan, and sorry about that, and they were married for nearly 10 years, and they had two little children, and they lived a very nice lifestyle. They lived in a little mini mansion with an Olympic-sized pool and had a great lifestyle. When I met her, she said, I really need your help. And I said, what's going on? And she said, oh, my God, I'm ready to have an affair. I said, I was shocked. Oh, I said, what? I said, like, really? And she said, yeah. She goes, I can't take it any longer. I said, take what? And she said, my husband. He's a complete boring computer nerd, and there's no joy in our relationship anymore. And we went to lunch. I sat down with her, and I said, well, you know, he was a good man. He was a great provider. He was a good father. And I said, well, how do you guys flirt? And she said, well, we're in the pool with the kids, and he'll be splashing me like I'm one of the kids. And it's irritating. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, yeah. She said, you know, it's like, especially since I just came back from the hair salon, you know. So their love language was a bit different, and their marriage had become boring, humdrum, and predictable, I'll put it that way. And she said, even with their love making, she said she relied on her imagination rather than really being there with her husband. You know, so it's like, wow, okay. So she asked me, she said, can you write a letter? You know, I think her letter initially was sort of like to prep him about she may be wanting to leave the marriage even, or, you know, just to complain about her unhappiness. And I said, let's write him a love letter, because that's what we really want to do, is not get so distracted with our agenda, our head trip, and myopic perspective. Why aren't my needs being met? I'm feeling bored, and making it the other partner's problem or even their fault. So I wrote a love letter from her to her husband. And when she got the letter, and I'll read it to someone over the phone so they can hear it rather than see it first. And as soon as she heard that the letter, she said, oh, my God, I need your book immediately. Okay, great. So she received the letter, and then some months later, she reports back to me, and I said, how's it going? And she said, my God, Christine, you wouldn't believe it. I am so in love. And I said, you are?
Oh,
with who? I was teasing. And then I said, so your husband loved the letter, did he? She goes, I never gave it to him. I said, what? You never gave your husband that love letter? She goes, not yet, but I tease him every week. And I say, honey, I have the most amazing love letter you will ever, ever receive. And one day it will be on your pillow, but not yet. And she said, it drives him crazy. And they were having great fun. They went on a family cruise to Hawaii, and he took her off. They learned to scuba dive together with a dive master. And I mean, they're just like having these, it sparked their humdrum routine. And so it moved into romance again. You know, it reignited that initial flame between them. It reminded him, perhaps, of what there really was still to explore and to really experience.
Christine, this is such a beautiful example of, you know, when I talk to people who have been in marriages for a long time, I get into these debates where these guys will say, there is no way to keep the marriage full of sparks and spice when it's a long-term relationship, because the routine becomes boring. And these are usually guys who are having affairs. I'm trying to convince them that it is possible. And because, you know, what is romance anyway? When you're meeting, when you're falling in love, it's the novelty. But really, what you are discovering, that's what I feel. What you're discovering, you think you're discovering this new person, but what you're discovering are parts of yourself that you are basically seeing through the eyes of the other, right? You're getting in touch with parts of your own soul, and that is what's creating that charged energy inside of each person. So in a way, what I'm intuiting right now, what I'm sensing is that what your letter does, when you said that people can get out of their own way, right, the layers that have come upon our eyes, those become removed, and you're actually connecting with parts of your own soul, and the playful part is coming back, right? And the energy
of
the relationship just...
Exactly. And because I think what you were alluding to is that some people end up taking the other partner for granted, and they move outside of appreciation. And so I had one woman who, she was married, you know, in a typical, and when we say typical, average, typical kind of marriage, not the kind of marriage that you're talking about, not the kind of marriage that is totally possible, but the too often, again, the routine kind of existence, you know, when their children come along, there's more responsibilities, they're both working, they have schedules to keep, and their priorities do not sort of fade away from making each other, one another, the love of my life priority. And really that sort of self-punitive, if you will, it doesn't serve our happiness quotient. It doesn't serve our soul's energy level. And when we can have that really, I mean, physical intimacy is amazing when it's, you know, you click with someone in that realm, in that way. What about the emotional intimacy? That sparks the physical intimacy to the next level. How many people have you heard when they make love to their husband or their wife and their eyes are closed? What is all that about?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just using that as one kind of little, you know, suggestion. But when there can be emotional availability and you really have that deep sense of appreciation for one another, and you don't grow old together, you grow young together. If you go to your high school reunion, you can see for yourself the people. Everybody's the same age, but why do some people look like they've perhaps got one foot, you know, in the grave?
Yeah, I agree. Totally.
So young. Yeah, it's
absolutely.
Really, you know, it's the baggage. You know, you carry around a lot of old debris and you become grumpy, And my mother, she passed away at 93, but she used to say, you know, crabby old people, they were crabby young ones too. So, another story around Valentine's was this lady, as I started to share, she and her husband had this sort of, you know, good people, you know, kept good, great parents, you know, wholesome family, all of that, except she was looking at herself in the mirror going, wait a second, I gained an extra 10 or 15 pounds. Or, oh my gosh, you know, is that gray hair coming in already? And, you know, I don't have time to work out. I've got, you know, I've got to drive the kids here or there or whatever. And she got tired of looking in the mirror and saying, is this all there is? So she decided, she called upon me. It was before Valentine's Day. And I wrote her Valentine letter. And when I say I wrote it, I downloaded it. Let's be real clear about that. I'm downloading what is the deeper truth, what your soul wants to express. And so I downloaded her Inspired Heart letter, and she said it totally rebooted her marriage. In the letter, the last line is, I want to start dating again. You know, will you be my Valentine? And so not only did they start making that a priority and having their regular, because they had to kind of do a schedule thing still, but they kept regular dating time and time for the two of them to have romantic little adventures. And actually the following summer, he invited her, or he planned this whole trip to the Italian Mediterranean. So wow, they could have this like second honeymoon. Okay. So, what you were talking about, Aram, also was, when someone's cheating in a marriage, when they're stepping out. And not too long ago, I wrote a letter for a woman who married her high school sweetheart. They were married 51 years when she found out about me, and she called me and she said, I don't know what to do. You know, my husband, we've been married 51 years. I've known him since I was in high school. We had two children together. He lost his job in the 2008 recession. He was an executive. And his demeanor was, he was a quiet, more of an introvert, but seemed like a good, solid guy. He was intelligent, loved to read. And she was head of a human resource department for a large corporation. And very strong personality, very outgoing. At any rate, she said, yeah, I found out that he had an affair. Well, here I am, the primary breadwinner, when he couldn't find another job that was suitable. And she said, I'm so upset. And she said he had this affair. It was with a woman, a colleague that he knew from when he was working that job. And they had the affair for 7 years, and I need to let him know this is it. I can't go on like this. When I spoke to her, I could hear the trembling in her voice. And I automatically knew it was, you know, when we start having the thoughts or things routine. So we have these thoughts, and then we have our emotional body steps in, and then it starts to attack our physical body, and we become ill. And so when I spoke to her, it took me just a few minutes before I uncovered why he may have had that affair. They had the two children. Well, their 40-year-old daughter suddenly passed away in her sleep, and it was within a year of the daughter's passing that her husband took on this dalliance outside their marriage, and he did end it in 2020, early 21, But when she found out, she was just just outraged. So I knew. I said, well, he's a quiet guy. He's an introvert. It was too much to have his daughter pass like that. And what he did was he found a really good distraction rather than dealing with his grief and loss. And because he couldn't fix it and he couldn't help his wife, who was also in that grief-stricken mode and perhaps even had to come home to the sorrow, he couldn't face it. He ran. It was a distraction. So anyhow, I did write her love letter to her husband. It was really amazing. And she cried when I read it to her. She just couldn't stop crying. And she gave it to him for Christmas. He opened it before she woke up. And then he, once, when she woke up, he came over and hugged and kissed her and told her how much he adored and loved her and wanted their marriage to work out. 2 days later, he gave her his love letter. Now, when I was writing their letter, it came through me that they needed to definitely take a second honeymoon. When he read that in the letter, that was his, oh, now I know what to do. Now I know how to bring joy and a healing to us. He was super excited to start planning their second honeymoon.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Wow.
So if you see, you know, one mindset is like this. Hey, he did me so wrong. How dare he? And after all I did, to really looking through a more compassionate lens, not making it okay, not, you know, setting boundaries and all that, great. But really looking at things on a much deeper, broader way that will make better sense.
Yes.
So you don't walk around
and
saying,
love
I've been
comes
rejected
in,
and I've been used.
Yeah, love comes in so many different ways, right? We go through life basically understanding how to love, and at different stages we are presented with different opportunities to actually love better and love deeper. So this is just so, so beautiful. I want to take the opportunity now. I was hoping to have one of your clients come on and speak about their experience, but I don't see any of them here. Maybe hopefully we can get them to record and send it.
Okay.
Which is okay, because we are almost out of time. So I want to be able to talk about your offer. So how people that are going through any kind of, so let's first talk about that. Who will this work for? Your services and the offer that we have today. From our listeners, who can actually utilize this and for what kind of results?
Okay. And what I want to just tap into is you also mentioned that your audience has, some people may be experiencing issues around siblings, family member, family of origin, friendship fallouts, estrangement even. Perhaps there's been somebody that has passed away unexpectedly. I help write eulogies as well. Estrangement is amazing. I've helped people that one gentleman had not spoken
eulogy,
to his daughter.
I just want to interrupt real quick. I'm so sorry. But with the eulogy, that helps with grief, right? Getting over the loss of grief.
It's the final words to the and sometimes someone will pass away and there's unfinished business. They have moved on, and the person left behind is carrying some stuff, some baggage, and I've helped to really get people through that, as well as surely honoring when they are grief stricken and overwhelmed. So yeah, so that's another thing, and
closure.
The estrangement, closure, and reverence.
Healing.
And again,
reverence.
We have to realize and remember that we choose our experiences. We're not victims ever. We have to get out of victim mentality. And also that sense of worry is what so many of us, worry and dread is what can be very overwhelming, where we lose sleep, where we can't function as well. We're tossing, we're turning. And worry, if you think about it, is the opposite of love because it's fear. And what I can share with your audience, and I hope that they will take this away, if nothing else, today, if you find yourself worried over someone in your life, a connection or relationship, no matter the circumstance, or if you need to make a decision and you can't, stop the worrying. We're on autopilot, many of us, for that. We've been conditioned. It's in us. It's a survival mechanism on one level, perhaps, but it's certainly not healthy when it comes into chronic worry and stress. So if we could stop and look, consider that situation, that person, and bless and see that person, see your relationship, see whatever the issue at hand is in the best light possible, I promise you it will start to change automatically. What we expect and what we fear, we draw to us. We are cursing the situation instead of blessing it. So I just wanted to make sure the audience has that little takeaway.
Thank you. That's powerful.
Yeah.
So the offer is at orderjoy2020.com/Christine22. That's Christine with a K, K-R-I-S-T-I-N-E, and then the number 22, or just press the special offer button. And this will bring us to this beautiful page with your lovely picture. We have a lot of case studies cited here that you can read. And then we have the offer, so if you want to explain package A, B, and C and what they will get in it and what kind of situation is most suitable for, like, for example, for A and B, and then C is a completely different offer, which is done for you completely. So
okay.
If you will please explain that.
Oops. I was wondering if you could – do you have I'm going to have to –
You want me to read it?
You read it and then I'll explain it? That'd be great. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. So package A starts off with 3 60-minute group calls with Q&A. So if you want to talk about those.
Yes. 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 So this I'm really excited about because this, one of my passions, I love to help do those dives, get those intuitive downloads, and really help people with their relationship stress or their challenge. And so if whatever question around that, I've written to date well over 400 Inspired Heart letters, by the way. And with all my years as a therapist, I mean, there is no relationship. I mean, I'm looking for those surprise dynamics. But, yeah, I would love to. I'd love to have your audience join me with that so we can really help them to transform. That's what I'm here for, is to help people that feel lost, that feel frustrated, that feel rejected, you know, cut off, whatever it is. And regain that sense of a thriving heart, okay? So we're going to meet.
Awesome.
I think it's 3 different sessions. Yeah. Beginning, I think the first one is planned for February 22nd. And they will be recorded. And then it'll be each week after that at 1 o'clock in the afternoon Pacific time. I'm in California.
Okay, thank you. And then the next one in package A is the ebook, Magical Words for an Inspired Heart.
Yes, I have a little
ebook.
It's an ebook. Yeah, it's an ebook and it's a downloadable book. And what it is it's a guide for anybody who would like to up level their compelling letters skill. So and there are exercises in there for helping you again to move past ego and look at things with through new eyes and what elements need to are usually essential for a really compelling message.
Beautiful. And now they can write these as many letters as they need to write. Once they learn how to do this, they can write as many letters, and that is fantastic. And you know, you'll know how to do that in the future as well. Now,
yeah,
package B with a slight upgrade is going to have, in addition to the coaching calls and the ebook, it will have Inspired Heart confidential survey and a one-on-one coaching with you, which is feedback on the letter.
Yes, yes. So if somebody wants to attempt to write their own letter, the survey really helps you just to kind of dial it down for yourself. Also it helps me, and it helps me as well, because I want to make the most of our time together, and I want it to be all about you. So if I get a heads up on what areas are pain points for you or challenges or things that you need to transform, then we're going to be in a much better place for that. So it's prepping for that, but it also, with kind of, you know, writing it down yourself, and it's not lengthy, but it kind of will give you the clarity. Sometimes we're just like, oh, I'm not sure exactly what I, you know, what's, there's so many things going on or whatever. This will help with the clarity piece as well.
Awesome. Awesome. And so that's package A and B, and they come with a limited time bonus right now, which is an MP4 called Stranger No More. So that's a video.
Yes, I was a keynote speaker and gave a workshop at the 5G Phoenix Rising conference in Sedona last summer. And the mm-hmm. workshop we recorded it, and we have wonderful visuals on it. So it's a training, and the questions from the audience were just so apropos, and your audience will totally resonate because it was a spiritually based conference. And so if anyone is struggling with feeling cut off or estranged, or and sometimes, you know, that the relationships, you know, rejection is God's protection, if you will, but that doesn't mean that you've uh-huh. got closure, et cetera. And so, and other relationship fallouts are well worth redeeming and coming back into it with a new flow and a different sense of rapport than the pattern that showed up before was all about. So anyway, it's a wonderful training for anybody that wants to try to regain their connection with another.
Beautiful. So I have a question. What about someone who is single? They want to attract their ideal soulmate, their ideal partner. They don't know them yet. They haven't met them yet. Can this mm-hmm. letter be used for that as well?
Oh, absolutely, because as I said before, Erin, words have frequency.
Mm.
It's like music. There's a melody to these letters, and just like the woman who asked me to write her letter from her higher self to her conscious self, absolutely,
yeah.
You know, putting it down and putting it in writing, it's a beautiful thing. And just so you know, I also have come up with a new type of letter, and we call it the legacy letter.
and that is letters that there may not necessarily be some matter of the heart outside of being totally in the love zone with somebody and wanting to honor them and show your how you admire and you cherish and bringing those elements of your time and your experience together in relationship, whether it's a sister, a child, a parent, a grandparent, a coworker, could be anybody. And those letters, again, they're legacy because they can be handed down transgenerationally. Can you imagine someone's little baby grandchild today, 20 years from now, going, oh, my gosh, grandma and grandpa, they were there through the Great Awakening. Really? Yeah, and look at the letter. You know, or it's just, it's when I uncovered the letter from my daughter. I also uncovered in the garage a letter from my brother, Bob, who passed away many years ago. And it was a letter from when I was in Europe as a teenager on my own. And it was a letter that of encouragement from my big brother. And it felt when I read it, I started to cry. I felt like Bob was right there with me. So those are, you know, a beautiful, beautiful letter like that, that has that, that transmits that type of energy of higher love, can be quite beautiful.
Awesome. Awesome. So that's package. Thank you for explaining that. That's package A and B. And then package C is basically for those of you that want Christine to just write the letter for you. So this is going to be a done for you inspired heart letter for any of these different, you know, situations that we have been discussing during the call. It also includes a 90-minute one-on-one deep dive with you, Christine, and then there is a one-on-one focus call and then one-on-one follow-up and coaching call. So there are three different calls.
Yes, and I just want to say that I wanted to be very generous. Dive.
Christine?
I know something. Yes, can you hear me?
Okay, so, yeah, it got disconnected after you said generous, and it got disconnected after that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to be generous with the price. And just let the your audience, your listeners, know the value of this is really priceless. And that has been a common phrase from many of my clients. One gentleman hadn't spoken to his son in 15 years. His son was in a wheelchair. And the dad finally approached me, you know, with the son. The mother had... the parents were divorced, and the power struggle between the parents, the mother was making the dad the enemy, the evil one. The dad was kind of he was a research scientist, and he wanted his son to go into a NIH-approved program that would help him with his genetic muscle disorder. And my response was, you're going to write a letter of love to your son, whether he's in or out of the wheelchair. And the father tried to argue with me, but on that one, and I don't normally get into I will write what your end goal is, but his end goal was really to have a relationship with his son. After the letter, the son, who lives in about 1,000 miles away, came down to visit him for Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's.
So he sent the letter to the son, or kept it?
Yeah, he did. He did. We sent the letter, but we did not put in all this rhetoric about how dad wanted to fix the son. You know, I'm going to help you get out of that wheelchair. No, they hadn't spoken in 15 years. The father was, you know, bad mouthed, I'll use that slang term, by the mom, and there's a whole other backstory to that. But that happens in divorce, and I also help people in that are going through separation or divorce. I have a whole chapter about that in my book, Relationship: How to Write the Words You Really Want to Say, because it's such a power struggle, and nobody really considers what about the kids and how would it be if we could have family time together and go to celebrations and have our whole original family in the same room being compatible and even joyful. And I've helped a lot of people with that. So
beautiful. So he came to see his dad?
He came to see his dad, and he calls his father every single week since he wrote the letter. He came to visit him.
So beautiful.
This letter he got like couple years ago. And so the dad and the father, I actually met the father at my health club, if you can imagine. And so when I see him, he's like, oh, my God, you just totally changed everything. He goes, I can't believe it. He goes, and then the son called the father and said, Dad, I want to redo your website. And I said to the father, let him do your website. Don't boss him around. And he goes, no, I'm not. You know, and I said, yeah, it's a gift from the heart. He wants to help you. And he wants, So, but the stories that are in my book, and my book is also available if anybody's interested in Audible version. And I have about 50% of my clientele has been men, which is a bit unusual for the self-help world. Especially within this realm of transformation. And so I have a male actor that reads all the stories from the men. In fact, the actor, Don Meredith, he broke down in tears when he was recording the book because one of the stories, which makes me cry every time I hear it, but that's the story of the father who hadn't seen his daughter in 30 years. And the letter I wrote... She wrote back a letter that was so touching, it made me cry. And one of the, so she was 42 years old and the father was in his 60s. And I immediately picked up what his issue was PTSD that was undiagnosed from the Vietnam War. And that whole story is in my book. But she said to him in her letter, your letter meant the world to me. I have three fathers. You, the father that gave me life, my stepfather, who over the years finally came to accept me as one of his own, and my father in heaven was. And anyway, she flew to see him and spent. He passed away about 4 years later, and but he was one of 15 children, so she had all these aunts and uncles and cousins and everybody reunited.
Wow.
It was just beautiful.
Beautiful. Such a beautiful story. Wow. I can imagine. I would have probably started sobbing too if I had to read that story. That is, you know, that's what the essence of life is about. That's what I was saying, and why I really wanted our listeners to connect with you and listen to you, because, you know, we all, once we have made it past our 30s, we all have trauma, you know, one kind of another. Multiple traumas, even multiple. That unhealed, unresolved baggage creates all these walls we put up, or actions that we might regret we have taken, and we're just silently hurting inside. You know, in this world where we are all hyper connected, we are lonelier than ever before, which is so sad. You know, we're just
true?
So lonely. It's sad. And
you know,
in this day and age,
it's like
to offer something. Go ahead.
Well, I was saying that universally.
Go ahead, Christine.
Can you hear me? Okay. Universally, we all have this innate soul's desire to feel loved, accepted, and connected.
Yes.
And so you are so right when you talk about how we are putting ourselves in emotional jail, imprisoned We're not having that joie de vivre. We're not having the joy of connecting on so many levels with different types of relationships that are available. Everybody wants the same thing, but again, like I say, our old wounds and our scars get in the way. And yes, I leap over that. Definitely.
Beautiful.
And again, it's a beautiful thing. I myself, I don't think I ever shared it with you, but I nearly had my life taken in very horrific ways several times since I was a little girl. And kidnappings and all kinds of things. And for some reason, I think my soul came down and knew all this, of course, but thankfully, for some reason, I never held anger or hatred or a grudge or resentment for the perpetrators. I always felt that they were not healthy. I was at the wrong place at the wrong time. I didn't take it that it was all about me. And that is what has carried me, because I understand what real pain feels like.
I have a feeling that energy of forgiveness and compassion was required probably to activate that eighth chakra that you carry. You know, to be a holder of great gifts, you have had to gone through some pretty great suffering. At least that's what I have seen in life.
Yeah.
That, to bring this radical kind of compassion in your heart, you have to taste the suffering. So again, this is my perspective. This is what I have seen in life, that people that have radical compassion have actually seen radical suffering. So that does not surprise me
totally
that
agree.
You went through such experiences. My dear, awesome. We have
just
a few minutes. I just want
to,
honey, I just want to make a quick announcement that I lowered the hands of everybody because there won't be any one-on-ones today. If you guys have a question for Christine or her package, please raise your hand now by pressing star 2. We have a few more minutes. And Christine, please continue. You were saying something?
Oh, I was saying that because of all those traumas that I endured, I've had people say, you must have a lot of karma. And my response was, tell that to Jesus Christ. You know, so going back
to
what
you said.
That is
an awesome response. I love it. I love it.
So I would.
All right. So we have a caller who wants to talk to you. So let me unmute them. 920 area code. You are on.
Hi, this is Linda. My question is this.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. So thank you very much for taking my call. My question is this.
You're welcome.
If you know that there's a situation and it's abusive emotionally, spiritually, and every other way, and you believe that maybe this man might even have a possession problem, then what would you deal with that? How would you deal with that? I mean, narcissistic, emotionally explosive type of behavior. This is not my husband.
Okay, well, all right. So, again, to thine own self be true, and we must have that primary relationship of love with ourselves. So we don't allow others to mistreat us. That's number one. And if somehow, you know, we're stuck on a desert island with them and we've got this narcissist, remember the narcissist, how the narcissist was developed and there's a great many of them, I dare to say, that seem to be on the planet these days. And that is evolving. But the narcissist, that's a wound. Usually it occurs when they were little babies, toddlers, and every little one goes for love and attention, and they are rebuffed or punished. So they start to develop this etheric armor. And it's not the armor of God, unfortunately. It is this etheric insulation. So nobody can get too close, and they always must be in charge, in control. And it's a very dreadful predicament for anyone who is living the life of a narcissist. And those that they draw often have codependent, if you will, traits, or are subject to that. So, again, going back to people choosing their relationship challenges, their lessons, it really is not about fixing others as much as it is having that primary relationship with yourself, and then you see clearly and you know exactly what to do. So I would not rely on fixing somebody. However, when we go back to the letter, the healing letter, the inspired heart letter, that really can shift. I had a woman who was in a very damaging marriage where there was domestic violence and psychological torture, and she finally got enough gumption to leave, and she even had a restraining order against her husband, and she was still living in fear that he would somehow be vindictive, he would have his revenge no matter what. So I wrote helped her to write a short and very clear message to him, and she kept a copy of it in her purse for resolve. Now, that letter was written in 2008. I'm still in touch with this lady. She's remarried. She's happy. He wrote back to her, or he conveyed to her somehow. I'm not sure whether it was a letter, but he conveyed to her that he would always love her and she would never have to worry and that he was moving on, and he never did. Okay.
He never moved on.
Pardon me?
He never moved on?
He moved on. She got married. She moved on with her life, but she was afraid that he was somehow going to either break in her house or, some kind of evil subterfuge. Yeah, she was afraid of him.
Yeah.
And she just didn't trust that he had, that he wasn't so creepy and so evil, if you will, that he would try to get back at her for leaving him and filing for divorce. See? So so she couldn't sleep at night. She was still a wreck, even though she physically left the relationship. She needed to really clear it and get back into her power and write an empowered message, not a threatening message, an empowered one.
Okay. Yeah.
And learn to have that respectful relationship with herself.
Okay.
You know, I always look at it when there's a decision or a relationship that doesn't feel right and people tolerate it, what I often say is, do you have a child? Some people say yes, some people say no. And it's like, okay, well, pretend your daughter grew up and she was in the same situation.
She's putting up with that.
Would this be good?
Yeah.
Yeah. Would it be good enough for her? Oh, gosh, no, never, no way. Then why is it good enough for you?
Mm-hmm.
Now that dials it home.
It dials it home in one place, but in another place it's this. What if that's the only stability they have financially?
Well, I think that they better get creative around that, because can you put a price on it's like, okay, it's almost like I'm going to take this job. It pays. I don't have to go to a 9-to-5. I'm just being hypothetical. But it pays pretty well, but I have to be tortured to work on a job. Would you say, oh, we'll take the job?
No.
You would say, no, that's not appropriate for you, right?
Right.
Yeah. So, so it's really about self-honoring, and that could be the lesson to be learned through this, is to love and honor.
May I say something here? May I say something here? That from Heartache to Joy, listeners that have been with me from the start know this story, that when I started this telesummit, I was actually just coming out of a marriage, which was with a narcissist who was physically abusive as well. And actually, Christine, this was the question that gave me the gumption at the end to leave was, do I want my daughters to be older and putting up with this kind of stuff? Because that's the lesson they're learning from their mother. I did not have anything. I was bankrupt. My career of 15 years was in mortgage lending. So if you remember in 2009, all the banks were shutting down.
Yep.
So I had nothing in the pipeline. I had no hopes of getting a job. And I still left. It was hard. I'm not going to lie about that. It was hard. Single mom of two daughters. And he was still a narcissist. I didn't have Christine at that time to write a letter to him. But what I had, honey, what I had was trust. Trust in the divine, trust in myself, trust in the universe. And that's actually how I started from heartache to joy, from scratch. And with literally no money, $50 left in the bank. That's how it all started. And within a year, it crossed $1 million in revenues. And it's been 10 years now. So it's, yeah, it's when you take that empowered, compassionate step for yourself, you know, the universe has your back. So I remember, I know we're getting a bit ahead of ourselves here, but I know so many women that are probably in this situation can hear this message. Like, I didn't even know. Because when he assaulted me, the police came and, you know, there was charges filed and stuff like that. And we were already going to a divorce. So I had no clue how the system worked. And I was shocked when a couple of weeks into that, because they had to take out a TRO, a temporary restraining order. I had no clue what was going to happen next. And I get this letter in the mail. Apparently, I was in Texas, so the Tarrant County had this program, and I believe different counties have this. So please look into that wherever your friend is. So there was this Friends of Domestic Violence Victims, I think was what it was called. And it was a county program where I was given literally like $15,000 because I had two daughters. So they calculate based on how many children you have and what amount of rent you're going to need. And that gave me a little bit of breathing space. And actually, that was what I used the money to pay for the training for the telesummit. So it's just incredible what kind of things happened, which I absolutely could not have expected. And then I got this sudden refund from IRS from the money I had paid the previous year that, of course, I didn't remember. So every month there was something that came to me quite unexpectedly to help me along the way until I could launch my telesummit. So
thank
have you. That trust. You're so welcome, sweetheart.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Honey.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Yeah. And I used to volunteer. I used to volunteer at a women's domestic shelter, and I used to also be on call when there was an attack, a rape, or some type of domestic violence to help with the victim of that situation. Sometimes at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'd be driving 40 miles. It got to be a bit much, but I'm very compassionate to people that are under that kind of duress. And I had my own marital situation. There wasn't violence, but there was other mental issues that were quite difficult. And he was a narcissist. And to this day, and that's a whole other story we can talk about on another occasion, perhaps. But we have a daughter and grandson, and we have a fabulous relationship. And as far as friendship goes, and he still refers to me as the love of his life. So our story was done, but I sure learned a lot. And when I left him, I had to reinvent myself. So I totally
which is a good thing,
that.
Right? It's a beautiful thing when you reinvent yourself.
Thing.
You tap into the gifts. Yeah, that I could never have imagined that my life was going to turn out this way. And now, helping literally millions of women. I could not have written the story myself had I been asked 10 years ago. There's just no way. So when you do what is right for you, it eventually turns out to be right for everybody else. That's what I truly believe in. So thank you for your question,
Erin,
my dear, and best of luck.
Yes, Erin, I love listening to you because I can feel the.
Thank you.
I can feel that. I can feel your soul essence. You're so. It's a very beautiful space that you come from. Very, very beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you, sweetheart.
Yeah, very delightful.
I receive that with gratitude and humility. And it's connected to my, it's connected me to my purpose, right? If I had had a very happy, healthy marriage, I would be spiritually lazy right now, probably enjoying my life, but totally disconnected from my purpose. So I would not change a thing about my past, and I'm very grateful for the experiences. Because we get to do what we are doing now, because we went through what we went through. So lots and lots of love. I am afraid we are out of time. I want to give out the link one more time. Please, those of you that are hurting, that want some kind of resolution, some kind of closure, that want to have that shift in their relationships, Christine is absolutely amazing. I am myself. Going to be having her write a couple of letters. I am now quite sure that I'm ready to call in my soulmate. That's why I asked you that question, Christine. One for myself.
Yes.
I haven't met him, but I know he's out there somewhere. And so please do that. Give yourself that gift because, like I said, relationships bring that joy, that color, that spark in our lives. And I wish that for all of you. So take care of yourselves. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Lots and lots of love to all of you. Take care. Bye-bye.